Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is Dr. Mike Roizen, and you've downloaded You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on from Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you've downloaded us from. Thank you very much for doing so. Please, by the way, you can tell your friends about us, rate us weekly. We'd love it. We have a wonderful guest for you. This is 1033B, so yes, we've been doing this this is our 21st year. The reason being is you'd say, well, 52 times 20 is 1040, yes, but we always have one between Christmas and New Year's that's the best of. So this is our 13th show of the second 21st year. And a great guest. We're going to talk about freezing eggs and fertility with Dr. Shannon DeVore, who is board certified in reproductive endocrinology and infertility, as well as obstetrics and gynecology, and is a member of the renowned NYU Fertility Center team in New York. You can get to her, and I'll mention this again at the end, at fertilityny.org. The sponsor of all of our shows is you, is in fact not you, but is Persona Nutrition. I use Persona for my personalized supplements. You can too. If you want to have some fun, you can take the free online assessment to get supplements personalized just for you. If you're on an obesity regimen or a specific diet, keto, where you have bariatric surgery, or you just want to live longer and better, that's what you can do. And you can talk to a nutritionist for free at mypersona.com. Take the free online assessment, and you can go to mypersona.com. I'm privileged to talk to Dr. Shannon DeVore now. Shannon, how did you happen to get into helping people with fertility and egg freezing?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I have always wanted to do this, interestingly. I didn't really want to be a doctor. I wanted to be an OBGYN from when I was little. So I always knew I wanted to do women's health. And then once I kind of started on that path in medical school, I actually was in California, and I was just super interested by this field. And I emailed one of the doctors at NYU Fertility Center and asked to spend the summer with them. So it was kind of a fortuitous, you know, path that I took and ended up here for fellowship and as an attending. So I really like the field. It kind of intersects clinical, psychological, and really a lot of bench science research, which is very translational. So that's how I kind of got into it.
So tell us, what is egg freezing, and how long does it work for? And in other words, what you hear is a lot of people during the pandemic wanted to have their eggs frozen because they didn't want to have kids during the pandemic. Does that work?
So, yeah, egg freezing has been around for a while. Essentially, every month your body has a cohort of eggs. It's kind of like your team for that month that it has been priming for the preceding few months to grow and develop and be ready to be recruited. It typically chooses one to ovulate and the rest die. So by freezing your eggs, what we do is we give you medications which essentially stimulate all of that team for the month to grow and develop rather than die. And then we extract the eggs under anesthesia. Go ahead.
Now, before you, I think people don't understand that. So people know that they produce one egg a month or that there's one egg ready to be fertilized, but they have many more than that that are ready and that are suppressed with the normal process. So this process, you harvest all of those that are ready, not just that one. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. Very well said. And so we harvest the eggs under under anesthesia, and we are able to freeze them using a method called vitrification. And once they are frozen, they are good indefinitely. We have a baby born after 11 years of freezing. But likely that number will continue to rise as women who free, you know, get more and more women are freezing younger and returning at later ages. So we'll have more data in that regard.
Now, do they have to carry the baby themselves, the pregnancy themselves, or do they have surrogates? How does that work? So, and then we're going to get back to how safe it is and who should consider it. So, do they carry the baby? In other words, if they're over the age of 35, I assume many people freeze the eggs before they turn 35. Is that right?
Yeah, but actually, you know, when we initially started doing this 15, 20 years ago, most of our patients were 38, 39, 40. So we have a lot of data, and especially I still have patients of that age. So a lot of women do it before 35, but there's no strict number that it's, you know, too late to do. So, you know, in terms of if they carry the baby or not, it really depends on the health of the mother. You know, after age 45, we like for you to get a visit with a high-risk pregnancy doctor and a primary care doctor and make sure you're cleared for pregnancy. Sometimes that involves doing like an echocardiogram and things like that. But, you know, most of the women carry the pregnancy themselves. The exception is women who have, you know, breast cancer or something like that and are not cleared for pregnancy. And so they freeze prior to treatment and then typically transfer into a surrogate.
Now, how old can you be? You said 45, but can you be 55 or carry the pregnancy?
Yeah, so it becomes kind of a tricky situation with very advanced maternal age. The ASRM guidelines, so that's the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, they really recommend 55 as the age cutoff for carrying a pregnancy, provided the woman is in good health. You know, it does get to be a slippery slope because there are very significant, comorbidities that can present themselves in pregnancy, such as hypertension, diabetes, and things like that. So it can be a bad outcome for baby and child or baby and mother. But it's, you know, we don't have a strict number at which that occurs beyond 55.
And how safe is freezing eggs? In other words, people in Cleveland know that there was a freezer meltdown.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of eggs were lost. But we haven't heard of any others around the country. So is, in addition to that risk, is there risk to the mother in going through the process of getting the hormones? And what, in other words, take us through a typical situation. Does, say, someone who's 35 comes in and wants to freeze their eggs so that they can have a baby later in life, how do they go about doing that? What's involved in that?
Yeah, so in terms of the safety, it's overall a very safe procedure. There are, you know, complications that occur, and those are in a minority of cases. So with any procedure, there's risk of damage to adjacent organs, bleeding and infection, and certainly those could occur. I would say that's far less than 1% of the time, and so that would be at the time of the egg retrieval if that were to occur. The biggest risk is hyperstimulation. So essentially your body is not made to, you know, have sometimes in excess of 20 eggs produced in a month. And so there can be a syndrome that occurs where essentially your vasculature becomes very leaky and you retain a lot of fluid, but your blood vessels are quite dry. So it's, you know, you're depleted intravascularly, but are really retaining a lot of fluid and can have nausea and vomiting and weight gain and discomfort and things like that. I would say that occurs at 1 to 3% of the time. Most of the time it's very, very mild. But occasionally it can be severe and require hospitalization. So those are the main risks.
And then when you do you fertilize these eggs in vitro in a test tube and then give them back, or are they, how does that process work?
So they are frozen as eggs, so they are not fertilized. And if a woman comes back and chooses to use her eggs in the future, then she either with her partner's sperm or donor sperm, then the eggs are thawed and they are fertilized with that sperm and embryos are made. And yes, it's in a test tube, or not a test tube, but a petri dish, essentially.
We're talking, I should say, with Dr. Shannon DeVore, who's board certified in reproductive endocrinology and infertility, as well as in OB, obstetrics and gynecology. She's a member of the famed NYU Fertility Center in New York City, and you can reach her at fertilityny.org. Fertility, F-E-R-T-I-L-I-T-Y, N-Y as New York, .org. Shannon, what's the success rate? In other words, if how many eggs do you typically get out, and how many does then get fertilized, and how many do you give back, and what's the success rate of that pregnancy?
That's a really good question. And, you know, we've done a lot of research on our egg thaw outcomes, and we have a lot of them. So we have a significant number of babies born and people who have returned to use their eggs. But I would say the literature is very scarce otherwise, with real patient outcomes. A lot of them are models based on extrapolated from IVF data, which is very different, we know, from thawing eggs that have been previously frozen. So, you know, in the papers that we've published and looking at all of our outcomes, the success rate, and it includes, you know, all comers, so all age groups, from 30 to 42, it's about 30 to 35% success rate overall for women who come. But that doesn't take into consideration, you know, the success rate goes up as the age declines. So, you know, women who freeze before 35 have a much higher chance of this working. And so what I typically go through with my patients, both at their initial visit, using a hypothetical number of eggs, and then after they actually complete the cycle using their value of eggs, is just our success rates and our averages at each step. So typically about 85% of the eggs survive the thaw.
And how many, when you do a harvest, how many eggs do you get per patient, for example?
It really varies. You know, it could be as few as three or as much as, you know, 40. And so I don't love to like pinpoint a number that's ideal because it could be far above what that patient is capable of. But I would say on average, you know, about 15 would be a really good cycle.
So 15. And let's just say you got the average 15. How many would you give back when the person is trying to get pregnant?
That really depends on the age of the patient at the time of the freeze and how many eggs they have. So, you know, with 15 eggs, I would be fine just thawing them, fertilizing them, growing them to embryos, and then we could genetically test those embryos. And we would only transfer one genetically normal embryo at a time. If some patients have fewer, like have 8 eggs, then I typically don't recommend genetic testing, particularly if they were young when they were frozen, and we would do a fresh transfer. And so in that situation, like meaning fresh meaning we're not freezing the embryos again after genetic testing. And so in that situation, I would transfer up to 2 probably, but it really depends on the situation. And so whenever you transfer 2 embryos, there is the risk of twins, but it's unlikely in those situations.
Now, from what I understand, there has been an increase in women freezing their eggs since last year. Is that correct? And do you expect this to continue? Is this a trend? Have women just learned this and are postponing pregnancy due to their work situation? Or why do you think the increase has occurred?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, I don't know that it's because women are necessarily postponing pregnancy. There's definitely been a huge uptick since the pandemic. I mean, we are a lot busier with egg freezing patients than we were last year. But I think that has to do with a lot of factors. A few just, you know, I used to see a lot of patients who were very interested in freezing their eggs, but then they kind of had daily life, like just the cadence of daily life got ahead of them. And, you know, weeks turned into months, and then they still hadn't really come back to start the process. Work travel, demanding schedules. Now a lot of people are working from home and, you know, find that it's an ideal time to kind of do what they've been thinking about doing for a long time. I think the dating situation is also difficult with COVID. And so, you know, it's harder to meet someone. And so they more than ever want to preserve their fertility and have optionality in the future. And I think also women are just, I've also seen an uptick in women who are kind of ready to go for it and get pregnant, sometimes with donor sperm, versus before they were kind of holding out on meeting someone. I think the pandemic has really made us reflect on what's important in life and what priorities there are.
So I want to thank you. We've been talking with Dr. Shannon DeVore, a board-certified physician in reproductive endocrinology and in obstetrics and gynecology at the New York University's Langone Fertility Center. Fertilityny.org is a website. You can find out more from her through that website. And as usual, we are sponsored at You, the Owner's Manual podcast by Persona Nutrition. You can find out more about personalizing vitamins and getting them just for you, if you can imagine that. It's a wonderful thing. Talk to a nutritionist for free. It's at mypersona.com. You can even take the free online assessment at mypersona.com. For more You, the Owner's Manual podcast, just download us at iHeart or Radio MD or wherever you find your podcasts from You, the Owner's Manual podcast. We're going to start a reboot podcast as well. Reboot for the way you can get younger, not just slow down the aging process, but actually reboot to a younger age. You can find out more about that at podcast with a K, podcast.com, and look for the Reboot podcast. All of them will end up being on the Great Age Reboot site, so you'll be able to aggregate all of them. But in the meantime, reboot at podcast with a K, and of course, You, the Owner's Manual. This is 1033B. The B are always great guests like Shannon DeVore of fertilityny.org, or, if you will, the A, the latest medical news of the week. And of course, we're doing that segment called Be Half the Age You Are, because of we're bringing the best of the reboot segments over as well, with short snippets, so you'll get some of the excitement of rebooting that is now going on in science. Thanks very much for listening. Caitlin, thanks for great engineering, but especially you for downloading us. Tell your friends about us, rate us. 50,000 of you a week who download us can't all be wrong. Thanks very much. In fact, most of you are right. Thanks again.